Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yumod Av Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked off Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked off Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the third perek of Maseches Yumah, you'll see the lower part of Daf Chof Ches Omer Aleph, Omar Lohem HaMemuna. The Mishnah opens up with something that we've learned already in the past, the appointed one, the official in charge of the goings about in the Beis HaMikdash would instruct to find out whether or not the Zman HaShchita has arrived. Zman HaShchita, Heir Mizrach, where the east has become light. We would maybe refer to that as dawn. Has dawn arrived? The Mishnah. Omar Lohem HaMemuna. Tzu Uru, go and behold and see Im Higia Zman HaShchita, if the time for slaughtering the morning Tomit Shel Shachar has arrived. Im Higia, if the time has arrived, Haroya Oimer Bar Koi, the one who sees the east and sees the light, he would announce Bar Koi. Bar Koi indicating shining something, shining forth, the sun is shining. Now, we're not referring to the actual sun, but the glow coming from the east, which is associated with sunrise, with dawn. Masio ben Shmuel Omer Heir Penei Kol HaMizrach Ad Shebechevroin. Masio ben Shmuel says that the entire east has become lit until Chevron, until you see light or glow of light in the direction of Chevron. Fahu Omer Hain, and he says yes. This give and take in the that we see here in the Mishnah will be explained in the Gemara. V'loma hutzruchu lekach, why was it necessary for someone to go up, in fact go up on a roof or on the wall to see whether it is light? Shepam achas, there was on one occasion, ola mo'or halavona, the moonlight was glowing, v'dimu she'ir mizrach, and it appeared to them as if it was dawn. V'shachtu as a tomid, and they slaughtered the tomid prematurely, was too early, v'hotzi'uhu the Beis HaSreif, and then they brought it to the Beis HaSreif as a place where it would be burnt as a rejected sacrifice. Horidu Kohen Gadol the Beis HaTvila, the Kohen Gadol then descended to the immersion site, the mikveh, zeh haklahoi b'mikdash. The following was the rule: kol ha'meisach es raglov ton tvila. Anyone who would relieve himself, solid waste, he would be required to immerse. V'chol hamatil mayim ton kiddush yodayim v'avlem. Anyone who urinated would then need to sanctify his hands and his legs from the kiyor. The term Mesach Esraglov is a reference to a solid waste, and Rashi gets into more detail why that is the word used for that action, but be that as it may, it's clear what we're referring to. We continue now at the top of Omid Beis, Tanya. And we continue with the issue of morning, of sunlight, or glow of sun. The topic heading on the side says Shitos Bekamo Heir HaMizrach. We have different opinions on how light the east must be in order for us to say that the time has arrived for the Shritas HaTomid. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Borok Bar Koi. This is an expression meaning the glow of sunlight coming from the east. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Olo Bar Koi. Rashi says that Olo Bar Koi is Heir Yoiser Miborok. It's a level of greater light than the word that Borok indicates. Nechumo ben Afkashion Omer Af Barkoi Bechevron. It would seem from the context that this would be even more light. It's so light that the glow of light stretches to Chevron. Masyo ben Shmuel Hamemuna Lepaisis Omer Heir Penei Kol Hamizroch Ad Shebechevron. The entire east is lit up until the sky over Chevron. Rabbi Yehuda, now as far as what these are referring to, Rashi doesn't comment, so that leaves us also with some with a limited situation of what to say about each one of these comments. But each one is a reference to a level of lightness and that which is announced. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro Omer, Heir Penei Kol Hamizroch Ad Bechevron, V'yotsu Kol Ha'om Ish Lemlachto. Rabbi Yehuda gives seemingly the latest time, says it's so light that that people have gone out from their homes to go to work. The Gemara says, I hachi noga leituva. If that's the case, it's then quite late. It's would seem that's much later than we would expect later into the early hours of the morning, but late, relatively speaking. So the Gemara answer is no. It's not that everyone has gone out to work, but rather the owners of properties have gone out. Liskor poyalim karminan. It's still fairly early. It means people have gone out to find workers to work their fields or their enterprises. So that hour where people go out, where owners or managers go out to find workers, is still fairly early. Omer of Safrot, Slose Davrom. Slose means the prayer, the davening of Avram, and more specifically, Rashi says, the mincha time of Avram. Rashi calls tefilos ha'erev, but the word erev in modern Hebrew means could mean evening, but it means for the afternoon, where erev, where the sun starts to veer westwards in its direction of, you know, toward setting, but it's just afternoon. Is when does Tfilos Erev begin? When does Mincha time begin? Mechi Meshachri Kosli. From when Meshachri means dark, it would mean when the base of a wall starts to develop a shadow. In other words, if you can imagine for a moment the sun overhead, so when the sun is overhead, so no shadow is cast. But if you once the sun starts to veer westwards, and it was just over a wall, if you look at the bottom of a wall as the sun is veering westwards, so a slight shadow is cast east on the eastern side of the wall. So that's what Mechi Meshachri Kosli means. And on the side of the Gemara, we've noted that the topic here is the Zman Tfilas Mincha Shel Avram Avinu. We have a triangle that appears, and under the Mivneh, you will notice the Mivneh is the structural note, a triangle is featured, and we've written Mahoyo Koshel Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question, but it takes a couple of stages in order to see what really was bothering Rav Yosef. So Omar Rav Yosef, he asks, In a tone of wonderment, you now say, Anan me Avram nekum v'nigmar. Are we supposed to learn from Avram Avinu? Omar Rava. So Rava reacts to this question and says, Tana gomar me Avram, v'anan lo gamrino mine. The Tana learns halochas from Avram, so why shouldn't we learn from him? You might be asking why is there any problem in learning from Avram in the first place? So the Rashi doesn't say very much. Rashi across says Anan mi Avram nekom v'nigmar boso lulamdenu lios zrizin kavram. So the note, though, on the side of Baruch Pirush, Hech Nilman Me Avraham, how can we learn from Avraham? Shekima Torah Shelo Nitna. We know that Avraham Avinu, and we'll see this later in the Gemara, Avraham fulfilled the mitzvahs of the Torah before the Torah itself was given. And we'd have to explain that as some form of extraordinary wisdom, that by looking into the creation, by looking into the nature of the world, the nature of man, Avraham Avinu understood that the mitzvahs of the Torah are necessary. Each mitzvah comes to improve, mesaken, a different aspect of man and creation. So he understood that, but the ein lanu lilmod ela miminag neviim ipnei shenagu b'halacha l'moshe misinai. Our role is to observe the mitzvos because they were given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai. It's by force of that event that we keep the mitzvahs. So what Rav Safra is suggesting is something that arouses Rav Yosef's objection. Rav Safra is suggesting that we should learn the laws of Mincha from Avraham when we learn from that which happened after the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. So Rava says, one second, what's wrong with learning from Avraham? We find the Tana learns from Avraham, and we continue now in the Gemara, Desanya, Uviyom Hashmini Yimo Basar Oloso. This pasuk speaks about the commandment of circumcision, Bris Mila, Melamed Shekol Hayom Kosher Lemila. We learn from this that the entire day from sunrise to sunset of the eighth day is suitable for fulfilling the mitzvah of Mila. And this halacha goes so far as that if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos, you are commanded to perform a circumcision, even though it involves that which would otherwise be called a violation of Shabbos, the cutting of flesh and the shedding of blood, the release of blood on Shabbos. Hello? So we learn that the eighth day is suitable for Mila, and that the whole day is suitable for it. Hello, shehazrizin makdimin lemitzvus. However, people that are diligent will perform the mitzvah early, not waiting till the latter part of the day. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayashkem Avraham baboker vayachavosh v'chulei. We see that Avraham, when he was performing the mitzvahs of Hashem, he arose early to do so. And we dash down the line of Avraham because we are learning from him. So what's wrong with learning the time of Tfilas Mincha from Avraham? The Gemara continues, Elo Omar Rava, and you notice another triangle, it's another stage, a second stage, and trying to understand what was Rav Yosef bothered by. So Rava says, Rav Yosef Ha Kashile, the following was bothering him, the Snan. The Mishnah says, Chal Arvei Pesach Lios Be'erev Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, that's the day during which the Korban Pesach is slaughtered. Slaughtered and, of course, offered. If the 14th of Nisan comes out on a Friday, and you've got to take care of the shechita of the Korban Pesach, and you've got to roast it, take care of all the needs that are associated with the Korban Pesach, all before Shabbos sets in, because you cannot roast the Korban Pesach once Shabbos sets in, and you're not allowed to eat it raw. So we enable everything to be pushed early, including the Tomid Shelbein Arbayim, will be pushed back in time till its earliest extremity, allowing for the rest of the day to be used for the processing of the Korban Pesach. And there could have been, in fact, millions of them. So the Mishnah says, in the event that the 14th of Nisan comes out on a Friday, Nishchat b'sheish u'mechza v'korev b'shev u'mechza. The tamid shel bein arbayim is slaughtered at the sixth and a half hour of the day. If you were measuring a day from sunrise till sunset, from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., to make the calculation easy, we would say that 6.5 hours of the day is at 12:30 p.m. That's the earliest time. But now Rav Yosef asks if Rav Safra's din is correct, that Tzlosei Davron, the Tfilas Mincha, was as soon as the sun starts veering westwards and the bottoms of the walls become darkened, so v'nishchatei mechi meshachri kosli, you don't have to wait till 12:30. You can do it at 12:01, because at that point the sun is already going to be, it's already veering westward, and you can gain practically a half hour. You can shecht the korban tamid mechi meshachri kosli. And we didn't mention before, but it's a detail that the Korban Pesach must be shechted after the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim is processed. So we're making the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim as early as possible. The Mishnah says you do it from 12:30, when according to what Rav Safra taught, you could have done it Mechim Shachri Kosli, which would you'd gain another half, practically a half hour. The Gemara rejects the question. It's Umay Kushya. What's the difficulty? V'dilmo kosli the beis hamikdash b'sheish u'mechza meshachri mishum delo mechavni tuva. Could be that the walls of the beis hamikdash, actually their bottoms, become darkened a bit later, because the bottom of the wall of the basin is lo mechavni, means it's not equal, meaning it widens as the as it reaches the bottom, so that when the sun is facing the west, the bottom of the wall, being that it's wider, doesn't develop a shadow. The light is still shining directly on the bottom of the wall at the moment that the sun veers toward the west. So only at 12:30 will the bottom of the wall start developing a shadow. So we're sticking to the Meshachri Kosli standard, but we have to apply that in the Beis Hamikdash, where the Korban Pesach would be slaughtered. And that doesn't take place. Meshachri Kosli doesn't take place until Sheish U'mechza. Inami, another explanation of why the Tana says Sheish U'mechza and doesn't learn from Avram, isn't because we can't learn, isn't because there's something preventing us per se to learn from Avram, other than the fact that Shiny Avram was different. It's Tagninus Gedoilo Hoiso Belibo. He was an expert in terms of celestial movements, and he was able to time perfectly when the noon moment has passed. But commoners don't have that level of expertise, and therefore, to be sure that it's past noon, and hence time for the Korban Pesach, we have to wait till 6.5 hours, till 12:30. Inami, mishum dezokin v'yoshi b'yeshiva havi. Another explanation of why Avram Avinu might have had a level of precision that we don't have, hence we must wait till 6.5 hours of the day, is because Avram Avinu was a zokain. A zokain is often translated as an elderly individual, chronological issue, but not so over here. Zokain is the Gemara, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, is an abbreviation of Ze Kona Chochma. Zokain Ze Kona, and a reference to Chochma. It means a sage in the sense of wisdom. So he was a Zokei v'yoshe b'shivim, he literally sat on a council of elders. The Omer of Chamo bar Rabbi Chanina, Mimeim shel avoseinu lo porsha yeshiva mehem, dating way back to our forefathers, they were always engaged in, if we can use the term Torah study, there's a concept of Torah wisdom that the forefathers had even before the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And of course that's a topic worthy of research in and of itself, and expound on that. However, for our purposes, it's a reference to their being sages and sitting amongst other wise men. So this phenomenon was always a part of our people. Hoyu b'Mitzrayim yeshiva imohem. They were in, the Jews were in Mitzrayim, and there was a council of elders there. Shenemar lech v'yosafta ziknei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to go gather the wise men of Israel. Hoyu b'Midbar, there was the Exodus, and there was a yeshiva imohem, a council of sages with them. Shenema isfali shivam shivamish mizikne Yisrael, where gather for me 70 elders of the wise men of Israel. And here we have a list of names of people who were Zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva. Avram Avinu Zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva hoya. He was a sage and sat amongst elders. Shinemar v'Avram Zokein bo bayomim. Yitzchok Avinu Zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva hoya. Shinemar v'hi kizikan Yitzchok. Yankev Avinu Zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva hoya. Shinemar v'ene Yisrael kovdu mizokein. This is a pasuk. Yisrael is a reference to Yankev Avinu. He was also a sage. Eliezer Evan Avram, the servant of Avram, Eliezer, was also a sage in his own right, a zokein v'yoshe b'yeshiva hoya. Shenemar v'yomer Avram el avdo zikan beiso hamoshel b'chol asher loy. Avram addressed Eliezer, and the pasuk refers to him as zikan beiso. Omer Belozer, the term Moshel means a leader or a ruler over. What was he a ruler over? Now we're talking about Eliezer, who was essentially a slave of Avram. So what was he ruling over? So Rabbi Elazar says, Shem Moshel b'toras rabu. He was in control, an expert in knowledge of his master's Torah. The pasuk describing Eliezer says, "Who Damesek Eliezer?" Now, the word Damesek, on a very literal or superficial meaning, would mean Damascus. The Marsha points out that if a person is associated with an actual place, the person's name is inevitably mentioned first, and then the place. Like, and he gives an example of Yiftach HaGiladi, Yiftach from Gilad, or Elio HaTishbi, and there are other examples. He cites also Novel HaKarmeli, first the person's name, and then where he's from. Here you've got Damesek and then Eliezer, so that keys the Chazal into making a drosha on this word. So Amar Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar explains that Damesek is an abbreviation of the following: Shedoyle umashke mitoyrosu shoraboy lachirim. Doyle is an expression associated with one who draws water from a well. So he draws water from the wellsprings of his master's Torah and gives from it to others. In other words, he taught others Torah. Omar Rav kiyem Avram Avinu kol haTorah kula. Rav says that Avram Avinu fulfilled all of the Torah. Shenemar, Ekev Asheshoma Avram Bekoli V'chulei. The continuation of that pasuk says that he listened to my voice and he fulfilled my commandments and precepts. Omar Lei Rav Simi Barchio LeRav. Rav Simi asks on that which Rav is teaching. He says, V'emol sheva mitzvos. Who says he kept all of the Torah? Maybe it means he kept the seven mitzvos that Noach had been commanded to observe, called the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. But as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah wasn't given. The Gemara says, ha ikonami mila. But he did perform more than the sheva mitzvos. He kept bris mila. So your suggestion of seven mitzvahs, that's not accurate. We know that he performed circumcision. Well, the Gemara says, okay, ve'emo sheva mitzvahs umila. So say that Avraham Avinu kept all seven mitzvahs that were commanded to Noach, plus bris mila, amale, in Cain. So Rav answers, then why does the pasuk cite mitzvosai v'torosai lomali? That's the continuation of the pasuk that we just read, Ekev Asher Shoma. What do I need mitzvosai, v'torosai? What do those refer to? Mitzvosai are my commandments and my toros. If all that's being referred to is mitzvas mila and the seven mitzvos, Omar Ravi Tamar of Ashi, Kiem of Rom Avinu, Afilu Eruve Tavshilin. Avram Avinu even kept a mitzvah derabonan. He even kept the mitzvah derabonan even so far as the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshil. This is a practice when Shabbos falls out during a Yom Tov, or right after a Yom Tov, and Yom Tov was on Friday, and then you have Shabbos, so there's a need to have food available for Shabbos. So the practice is to cook on Yom Tov food that you'll end up eating on Shabbos, provided you started the cooking before Yom Tov. And when we say this, you started the cooking before Yom Tov, that's in the form of what's something called Eruvei Tavshilin. You prepare some food before Yom Tov and have in mind that you're preparing it for Shabbos, so that gives you license to continue the cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So Avraham Avinu was careful in preparing this Eruvei Tavshilin. Shenemar, the pasuk says Torosai, and that's the word Torah in the plural, or my Torah in the plural. Achas Torah shebiksav, the achas Torah shebalpeh, both the written law and that which is oral. And Eruvei Tavshilin is nowhere to be found in the written Torah, and yet Avraham Avinu was fulfilling that too. So we see he kept the Torah Shebal Peh as well. Masya ben Shmuel, now we're going back to the Mishnah, dealing with the different times of daylight. And then it went on to say, Vu Omer Hain. So there was a report of it becoming light, and it says, and he would say, yes. This you can see, of course, in the Mishnah itself, on the fourth line of the Mishnah, back on Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, who is it that is saying Hain? Man Omar Hain. I lemo hach dekoi aigro. If it's referring to the person sent up to the igros, the roof, to see whether it's light, so does it make sense that he is saying yes? Hu cholim v'hu mifshar. There's an expression. First, we'll translate it literally and then explain what it means. Is he the dreamer and also the explainer? Generally speaking, if someone has a dream, he seeks the explanation from someone else. So, is he the one that is asking and also answering? Elo, rather, hach dekoi aaro. The one standing on the ground is the one that is saying yes. So the question is, mino yada, how does he know that it's light? The Gemara then answers, you can actually explain this in two ways. One, as a reference to the one standing on the ground, and the other one, the one who's standing on the roof. And the Gemara explains, the one standing on the roof is the one that says Hain. As follows, Omar Ihu, the one on the roof says, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The entire east has become light. The Omar Le Hach Dekoy Aharo, and the one standing on the ground asks, Ad Shebechevron, in other words, you're saying, I hear you saying that it's the entire Pnei Mizrach, the east is light. Are you indicating that it's reached Chevron? The Omar Le, and the guy on the roof says, the Omar Le Ihu, Hein, yes. Viboy Seimo Hach Dekoy Aharo. Another explanation is referring to the one on the floor is the one that's saying Hain, which means yes. As follows, Omar Ihu, the one on the ground asks, Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, has it become light in the east? The Omar Le, and the guy on the roof, upon hearing the question, he in turn asks a question. He says, Ad Shebechevron, meaning, are you asking me about it getting light in the east all the way to Chevron? V'yomar le, Hein. And the guy on the ground says, yes, that's what I am asking. So we explained the Mishnah of Omar le, Hein. He says yes as referring to possibly either the one on the ground or the one on the roof. V'loma hutzruchu lekach v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that the need for extra care in establishing that it has become that the dawn has set in was because once the moon started to moonlight was glowing and it gave them the impression that dawn had arrived when it was merely moonlight of the night and they got confused. The Gemara asks, Omi Michlif, can one confuse moonlight with sunlight? Vehotanya Revi Omer, Eno Dilme, Timur Shel Levona Le Timur Shel Chamo. You cannot compare the ray of light cast by the moon to the ray of light cast by the sun. Timur Shel Levona Metamir Voila Kamakel. The ray of light cast by the moon rises in a straight beam form like a stick. Timur Shel Chamo Mafzia Lekan Ulekan. The glow cast by the sun is something that scatters in all directions. So how could they have been confused? Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Yoim Hamunon Hoya. That particular time that they were confused, it, because it was overcast. Muna means it was cloudy. It was overcast. Umafzia Lekan Ulekan, and the moonlight was dispersed in the same way that sunlight would be dispersed. So that light diffused through the clouds creates this impression. So there's room for confusion. Omar of Papa, Shma Mino, Yoimo de Eva, we can conclude from this that a day that's overcast, Kule Shimsha, it's very bright. Means it's all sun, because the interaction between light and the clouds is, as we described, it's diffused and scattered, so it creates a certain level of glare, of brightness, leading Rav Papa to say it's Kule Shimsha. It's all sunlight. Lamai Nafkamina, what practical bearing does this have for us? So, if it's a cloudy day, it would have practical bearing, lushtuche oros, for setting out skins to dry. Inami liche dorash rova. Another nafkamina for us is that which Rava teaches. Isha lo tolush lo bechamo velo bechame chamo. A woman who is interested in baking on Pesach, so she should not bake and baking on Pesach, of course, creates the fear of fermentation, and fermentation is hastened by heat. So Rava says that a woman should not knead in the sun, nor in the that which is heated through the sun. So this knowledge that Yom HaDev was Kuli Shimsha has bearing for that as well. Omar Rav Nachman, Zuamo de Shimsha. The term Zuamo, in as far as this sugya is concerned, Rashi says, Oisoi Choim Shel Yom HaMa'una, the heat of a cloudy day. It's a reference to the heat of a cloudy day. There's another girsa that says Zihara, Zihara, or Zohar, that which shines and glows. So Rav Nachman says that light, or that the heat generated by the sun through the clouds, Koshi Mishimsha, is more intense than the sun itself. And of course, this has the halachic bearings on what we just got finished saying, that on a cloudy day where the sun is breaking through the clouds, a woman should not prepare dough on Erev Pesach, and it's a day that would be quite suitable for drying out hides. So Rav Nachman is saying that the heat of that's generated on a cloudy day is more intense than a clear sky day. V'simonech dona dechala. And in order to remember this phenomenon, remember the smell of wine coming from a sealed barrel. In other words, let's take a look at Rashi. Dona dechala, actually not wine, we said, but rather vinegar. Rashi, dona dechala, shepio sosum yofe, a barrel of vinegar that whose mouth is sealed well. Shelo yetze rechoy, the yachlosh, so as to keep the smell, the scent inside and not escape and weaken it. Shata noikiv nekiv koton, yetze shomrea chazok mod. If you make a small hole in it, very intense smell will come out of that. Kach yom hamunon mitoch shachamo mechuse. Likewise, with regard to a cloudy day, since the heat of the sun is covered, so to speak, v'chom shelo kovush, and the heat builds up, let's say, on the other side of the cloud covering, noikeves b'koyach derech nekev he'ovim. The small cracks that develop in the clouds will then result in an intense heat piercing through. So there's the cloud cover creates a buildup of heat, causing it to be more intense than a day of clear skies. Shaviri deshimsha, koshumi shimsha. Rashi, shaviri deshimsha. Rashi says sanverim. Sanverim is a word that you find in the story involving Lot and the angels that went to rescue him at Metargaminon Shaviri. In that particular story, the word Sanverim appears, and the Aramaic rendition of that word is Shaviri. So, Shemesh Hanokeves Bekoyach Derech Nekev Ovim Ktanim, the sun that pierces through the small holes in the clouds, Hanoisin Enov Kenegin Nekev, one who looks at that, looks heavenwards at those at the cracks where the sunlight is piercing through, Koshim Lo Sanverim Yosef Min Hamistakim B'Chamo Shebavir, is more intense, it could be more injurious than looking at the exposed sun itself. So back into our Gemara, that's Shaviri de Shimsha is Koshu Mishimsha. The effect is even stronger, more intense than looking at the sun directly. V'simonech Dilfa. And to appreciate that, to remember that, think about a drip. Rashi said Simoch Dilfo, Koshed Dilaf, Hayored Al Ha'odam, Mishim Nichnas Kogufulamayim. It's more irksome, let's say, a drip that drips on a person than jumping completely into water. So that small drip is more of a pain, if you will. Hence the small crack in the clouds creates more of a painful form of light, as we just described through the Rashi. We continue at the top of the Chof Tes Amud Aleph, and markings that we've started already, but we didn't introduce them, on the side, under our Mivneh heading at the bottom of Chof Chesomet Beis, the house was featured, and it's a series marking, Rishima Shel Dvarim She'echot Koshe Mechavero, it's a list of things where one aspect is more intense than the other aspect, and we've already seen two examples of that. Here at the top of Chof Tes, we continue with more examples, Hirhure Avera Koshu Me Avera. In order to appreciate this, we learn Rashi at the top. Hiruri Avera, Taivis Noshim, the alluring of women. A male is allured by women. He has a desire, the desire for women. That desire that a man has is Koshim Lahakish, his bizarre, has a greater effect on creating a sense of weakness. Yoser migufel shomaisa, more than the actual act, and usually this kind of expression is a reference to the act of intimacy, so that we can say the preoccupation with desire for women is more, has a greater effect on the person than the actual act itself. V'simonech, and to remember that, think about recha de bisra. Think about a person. Let's say a person who is passing by a grill where some fresh meat is being broiled or grilled, and the aroma reaches one's nostrils. So that smell, that scent, is very strong and creates a great amount of desire. Similar to the idea of a person who is preoccupied with thoughts of women. Continuing in the Gemara, Shilhi Dekaita, the end of the summer season, the heat during the end of the summer season, Kashya Mikaita, is more intense than the heat during the heart of the summer season. V'simonech Tanuro Shagira, in order to appreciate that, you can think about the Tanur is an oven, Shagira is to heat up an oven, and Rashi explains that if you have an oven that was being used, it was being used for baking and it was heated up, and now you want to approach this hot oven and light a fire in it, it'll be very easy to light a fire in it because it's already been heated up. We can glance at Rashi for this as well. At the third line from the top, Shili Dekaita, the end of the summer, Elul. That's the month of Elul, Shu Soifa Kayetz. That represents the end of the summer season. Koshim Mikaita is more intense than the earlier summer months. Koshim Choyme Mechema Kayetz Shil Tammuz. Tammuz is the month associated with summer, so the Elul heat is more intense than the Tammuz heat. Tammuz was 2 months before Elul. Lefi Shekvar Nischamim Kolo Avir. And when you reach Elul, so the entire atmosphere has been heated up. V'guf habrios b'chom ha'kayetz shover lov tomid mischamim hu ato b'choim kal umaziko. The Rashi is pointing out that since the people and animals and creatures have gone through the months of heat already, even a small amount of heat now can cause injury because of all the buildup of heat till now. Continuing in the Gemara, Ishta de Sisva. Ishta is a reference to a fever. Sisva is the winter. A fever one experiences during the winter, kashya midekaito, is more intense than a fever one experiences during the summer. The simonech tanura karira, and to understand or relate to that, think about a cold oven. Now, it takes a lot more fuel to heat up a cold oven. So that if you have a person that's feverish during the cold season, it must be a very intense level of infection that's causing him to become feverish. more so than a person who is feverish during the summer. Because in order to get someone who is cold to be hot, you need much more fuel, so to speak, to get him to be hot than if the entire environment is hot already. Migmar batiko kasho me chadato. Rashi explains, Migmar batiko kasho me chadato mi shaloma vizich daito v'shochach. Someone who learned, and he then put it out of his mind. He sich daito, removed his mind from the subject matter, and forgot. And then he wants to go back and, as we say, relearn it. Kasho lachsiv v'lomod ma shochach. It's more difficult to learn that which he has already forgotten. Yosuri mashalo lomad, more than that which he has never learned. So the Gemara says, the simonech, to relate to that, to remember that, think about tino bar tino. Think about the difference in making cement from, let's say, from bricks, or cement that was once made into cement, and then you grind it down and to reform it into cement. That the quality of that, let's say, recycled cement is poorer than cement made from the raw materials from raw materials to begin with. So, to in our case, if you're recycling your learning, the ability to refresh and recount it is more difficult than learning the same subject matter had you not learned it beforehand. Omar Beavo, my time all the Rebbe, what is the basis for that which Rebbe taught, that the glow of the sun is mafzia, it scatters? You'll notice we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text pointing to Chof Ches Amid Beis, where you saw Rebbe say this. So what's his basis? Dichtiv lamatzech al ayeles ashachar. So in this pasuk you have shachar, which is a reference to dawn, used in conjunction with an ayolah. An ayolah is a type of animal. Ma ayolah zu karneo mafsilos lekanu lekan. Just like the ayolah has antlers that are antlers, if you can use the word scatter, branching out is a better word. Just like the antlers of the ayola branch out in all directions, af shachar zeh, so too the light of dawn, mafsia lekan ulkan, also scatters or branches out in all directions. Now we made reference to a pasuk in Tehillim Perichot Beis Lamatzech al Yelsa Shachar. That chapter in Tehillim is associated with Esther Hamalka, the Queen Esther of the Purim story. So this leads Rabbi Zera to ask, why is Esther compared to an ayola? And you see we have this triangle which highlights Mishalim. We have on the side of Umar Mishalim, Me'aposuk Ayola Sashachar, different analogies that are learned from this particular posuk. So Rabbi Zera asks, Loma Nimshala Esther Layola, why is Esther compared to this creature? Lomar Loch, telling us, Ma Ayola Rachmot Sar V'chaviv Abaylo Kol Shor V'Shor Kishor Rishona. The nature of the Ayola is that her, we'll call it her birth canal, or her canal of intimacy, is narrow, and this is associated with it being beloved unto her mate at all times, like when they first meet. Af Esther hoiso chaviv al achashverush kol shav v'shok kishav rishona. So too, let it be known that Esther was desirable in the eyes of Achashverosh at all times, as she was when they first met. Omar Ravasi, Loma Nimshala Esther Lashachar, why is Esther compared to the dawn? Lomar Loch, this teaches us, Ma Shachar Soif Kol Halaylo, just like the dawn is the end of the night, Af Esther Soif Kol Hanisim, so too, Esther represents the end of all miracles. The Gemara asks, Va'iko Chanukah, but isn't there the miracle of Chanukah, which was a couple hundred years afterwards. So why do you call Esther the end? So the Gemara answers, when we say that Esther is the end of all miracles, it doesn't mean the end of miracles, period. Whereas nitno lichtev koamina, we're referring to the end of those miracles that were recorded or that could be recorded in a holy work. In other words, the Book of Esther is in the Tanakh. The Tanakh being a collection of 24 books that all are of a holy nature. Honicha lemadomer Esther nitna lichtov. Well, that explanation fits in with the approach that Esther was a work that was allowed to be written and canonized. Ela lemadomer Esther lo nitna lichtov. But according to another approach, which is discussed in the Gemara, that Esther was not to be written. So then, my ikola meimar. Then the question comes out that what's the analogy between Esther and the dawn? So the Gemara explains that approach that says Esther lo nitna lichtov, that Esther was not to be written. So Moikim law, he will explain this, the posuk of lam natzecha yel shachar, the word shachar, not referring to dawn at all. But he'll explain it, Rabbi Binyamin ben Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lozer, like Rabbi Binyamin explains, the Amar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lozer, Loma Nimshalu Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim Kayeles. Now, we have to preface that the word Shachar, as we saw, Lam Natzech Al Yeles HaShachar, Shachar is a word referring to prayer. So, why is the prayer of tzaddikim compared to an ayeles? Lomar loch, it teaches us, ma ayolozu kol zman shemegadeles karnea mafsilos, just like the ayeles, as it ages, every year that it ages, its antlers branch out more and more. Af tzaddikim, so to the righteous, kol zman shemarvim betfilo, as long as they are involved with prayer and increasing their prayers, tfiloso nishmas, their tefillos will be heard all the more. Hence the comparison between the shachar, which is tefillah, the tefillah of the righteous, compared to the ayola and its branching out, increased branching antlers. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you would like to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.